It's a very broad and interesting subject, the mind. You know, it's all over the Bible, all through the Bible, and in different shapes and forms and words and different things. The mind is referred to in the Old Testament a lot by your heart and your soul and your spirit, right? That there's that aspect to us, and those are all spiritual things that God teaches to us in our lives, that we are spiritual beings because God is spirit. Right? And so there's that kind of an aspect to it. But the Bible is just an amazing book. We're so blessed to have God's Word. And I was so pleased to see the picture that we have today of the folded hands over the Bible, because that's really what it's talking about, you know, in opening our eyes to understand the scriptures, right? And to be able to do that, we need Jesus to do that. And so that's really the message that we're going to be hearing today. And it's a real, real blessing for us to take time and to not just think with our minds, but to think about our minds. So it's a big subject, so I just want to humbly approach this with some things that God has opened my mind with and eyes with this week to share with you. And some of you have been sharing in the lectionary readings during the week and the devotionals that I send out. If you need that, I can send it to you. But the main thing is that we're reading the Word of God together. And that is going to prove to be a big difference maker in our church. If we are united in our reading God's Word together. I can't overemphasize that, you know. I learned that late in life, but I know it's true. It's the way it is. We need to be in touch more than just saying we're the body of Christ and you go to the same address, right, the same church. We are one in the Spirit, right? And those songs that we sang around campfires or wherever it was that we were in fellowship in our main church or wherever it was, you know, some of us went, those songs are indelibly important to us because they remind us of the truths of the Bible, and that's what God is doing. He's through His Word that He speaks to us. Right? And the disciples were informed. They knew about the Old Testament. They were following along and waiting for the Messiah to come. And so they were very in tune with God's Word that way. But it says here in the Scripture today that Jesus came and opened their minds to the Scriptures. Right? And so what He was doing was that He was illuminating, like we have a prayer of illumination before the Bible is read each Sunday, and that's also intentional. So we're not just listening to someone reading the words, but we are praying for God to illuminate, to open our minds to the Scriptures so that we will understand them in that kind of a way. This week I gained a lot from reading different things by some important Christian voices, and Tony Evans is a great pastor. He's been a pastor down in Texas, I think in Dallas, for many years. But he said something very interesting. He said he had in the old days, we used to have TVs with antennas, right? You have an antenna, you plug the antenna in, and then there's, you know, this connection to the wavelengths, and you get the signal for your TV. And he said, I had a workman come out one time because I was having a problem with my reception on my TV. And he said, your signal is strong, but your antenna is not pointed in the right direction. It's true, right? This is the way it works. And he said, the Word of God is strong. There's a problem with the there's no problem with the signal, but our heart's antenna is often not pointed in the right direction. I like that, right? A lot of us are not fiddling with our lives trying to fix them. A lot of us are fiddling with our lives trying to fix them when the problem is that our spiritual antenna is not pointed toward God. Therefore, we cannot pick up the Spirit's signal. So that's what God is trying to tell us today. I'm speaking to you, but you're pointing in the wrong direction. I'm over here, and you're looking over there, and you need to be looking at me, right? At God. God's the one who's saying that. It's like, I'm giving the signal. There's nothing wrong with my signal. You're in the wrong direction. So the question is, where are we today? We want to make sure that we are facing God, the one who is going to give us that signal, so the picture on our screen is going to be bright and clear. Thank God for Tony Evan using that kind of an illustration. So it says in God's word today that, well, the scriptures have to be opened by Jesus. Our minds have to be opened by Jesus. Okay, so that's, nothing could be simpler than that. So remember that today. And the prayer is, open our minds, Lord Jesus. You can say to Jesus, open my mind to what it is that you're saying to me in your word. If you have trouble reading the scriptures, you're not alone. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are very, you know, strange for us. We come into another world, an ancient world. We also hear language that is perhaps not our own. It takes time to be educated in the Bible, doesn't it? I mean, there are things that are said there that a normal person walking around may not say, and they may not be in tune with, right? But God wants us to spend time in His Word, and He will help us when we ask Him for it. There are a few scriptures that we had this week, but one that we didn't mention was one that is found in Acts. You remember the Ethiopian, the eunuch, who was on his way back home from Jerusalem, and he needed help to understand what he was reading? You remember? And so what did God do? He sent through the Holy Spirit, he sent Philip to him to explain to him what he was reading. So we need help, right? We need help. And God works in His own miraculous ways. He could speak to your heart and illuminate the scripture for you so that you're there with Him. Or He could send somebody else to do it for you. Right? And that's what He uses in us. He uses us as His people to go and to help other people to know what He's talking about. Right? And so it begins with us. Help me, Lord, to understand this. But then He'll say, I'm helping you to understand this so that you can help someone else to understand this. Amen? So it's not just for us. It's not just about opening my mind, you know, to those kind of things, but open my mind so that I can help other people too, just like I needed help. We had a wonderful scripture this week in the book of Daniel in chapter 10. An angel appears to him and says, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. That is an amazing thing. Not only did he pray and say, you know, I'm praying, Lord, on behalf of the people and things like that, the interpretation of it is this. He was setting his mind to gain understanding and humble himself before God. That is the attitude and that is what God is teaching us here, right? Through Daniel and his example and the things that happen in his life. We're not just talking about some kind of a writing that is vague and ornate and ancient and kind of, you know, only for a certain kind of people. We're talking about a regular person here. Right? But he had faith in God. And what did he do in his prayers? He sought understanding. Right? He humbled himself before God. And what happened? He was heard. That is what God hears. A humble heart. One who is saying, I'm not getting the signal. What's going on? Oh, I need to look toward God. I need to fix my antenna towards Him so that I receive the signal of what God is saying to me. There's no one here that is exempt from this. It's every one of us. And it doesn't matter how much education you have in theology or not. It is the same for everyone. And that's biblical too. Jesus said that. I'm the Son of God, but I am a servant. Right? I came to serve. We heard that this week too. It's amazing what God is doing. He's showing us that He's here with us and that He is one of us and one with us, and yet He is God. But that's the kind of thing He wants us to know about. We can approach Him, and Daniel did that. And he sent an angel who said, I've come in response to your requests. Wow. In Isaiah 26:3, it says this. We had this verse this week. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And when we talk about the mind being stayed on God, it means that it remains on him. It stays on him. It remains, right? It's fixed on him. And that is what God is teaching us today. And when you do, what do you receive? Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom is perfect peace. So is your mind without perfect peace today? Ask this prayer to God, to Jesus. Open my mind. Open my mind to understand. Help me to do that. And if it doesn't happen right away, it will. There's no doubt. And we've just heard that that's what happens, that Daniel fixed his mind. He stayed it upon God. He approached him with that kind of an attitude, and God responded. He got that signal straight into his heart through an angel, came to him and appeared to him in that way. You keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts on you. So think about this for a moment. How long does it take for you to stop thinking about God so that your mind is wandering away and you're thinking about all these other things, right? We've all been there. We say, I know I'm supposed to do this, Lord, so I'm going to pray just like Daniel today, and I'm going to say, Lord, I need understanding. I need to I'm humbling myself before you. And then you get up and you go, now I got to take care of all these different things, and how am I going to get all this stuff done? And then I have to do this, and this person is really bothering me, and all these other things are coming. And you're like, that is not staying with your mind fixed on God. Right? And so that's what God is trying to get through to us today. It takes more than that, right? It takes a will to desire him more than anything else, right? To say, I am going to do this. And that builds trust. Trust is not just something you get when you're baptized and boom, you get it now and you're set for life. No. It's like Uncle Alfred was saying, it's a journey, and there's going to be struggle, there's going to be challenge, there's going to be things that we go through. But what God was saying to me this week through these scriptures and what Jesus was saying to his disciples is that is what the point is, right? If we have it all good and we have all these things that are going well, we're probably not going to think about God at all. But in the process of going through these things, we build up a relationship of trust to him to realize that he really is all that we have and all that we need. Another scripture that we read this week about Jesus reminded me one in Philippians where Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." Right? Although he was the Son of God, he didn't use it to his advantage here on earth as a human being. He emptied himself of that and became a man so that we would be able to grow from him and to see him, but not more than that, to lay his life down for us as a servant. And the disciples, before this point, when Jesus was still with them, before he died and rose again and appeared to them, like we're reading today, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand what he was talking about. And it was almost like the disciples, whenever they heard him talk about leaving them and dying on a cross, they were like, are you out of your mind? You're not thinking straight. You've got to think this way. You're supposed to come here and be with us and not leave us. No one's going to kill you. We don't want you to be killed. You know, they didn't understand that his role in coming was to serve and to be able to be that offering, a sacrifice on the cross for all of humankind to take away our sins, you know. Did you ever have somebody ask, like, say that to you? Are you out of your mind? I've had people say that to me. But you know when they said it to me? They said it to me when I was doing something sinful. And I was out of my mind. That's when we're out of our mind, when we're sinning against God, when we are not fixing our eyes upon him, we're out of our minds. And I was, and at the time that this was, I remember my sister saying that to me. And I was thinking, why don't you just go away? Just leave me alone. You know, you don't have to worry about me. And she was actually showing concern. Are you out of your mind doing that? What are you doing? Wake up, you know? This is the same sister who would say to me, can't you just sit down and study for 1 hour? You're studying, you know, do some studying of some kind instead of just, you know, playing around. But we do that in our lives, you know, we play around. There's a play, it's a playful world that has a lot of play in it, that they feel like, do all of that, but don't think about these other things that are really changing your life, and that are going to make you valuable to society, that are really going to give you dignity and fulfillment of the purpose that God has put you here for. But no, I got to play. Yeah, there's a time and a season for everything, right? You can play, but there is a place for it. And there's a place for God, and it's the most important place to be in, and that's what God is trying to say to us, right? And that's what my sister was trying to say to me. What are you doing? Yeah. It's a funny story Tina Huang told last week about her bird in their cage at home, and, you know, birds are very sensitive to and animals are sensitive to earthquakes and different, you know, natural disasters. And she told me that when the earthquake started, the bird started running around in its cage and said in Cantonese, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?" and it's funny because that's what the bird heard the people in the house saying. "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And so the bird learned how to say that in Cantonese. But at the moment when the earthquake struck, he was out of his mind. He didn't know what to do. So he just said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" It's pretty funny. But that's kind of, you know, the way we talk a lot, right? What are you doing? And it's a good question to ask. What are you doing? You know, where is your mind? Where is what are you thinking? And I have to say, you know, I was going to say this at the end, but I'll just say it here. There are times when we do, you know, things that are not good. And we need somebody to say, what are you doing? And it's one of the best things that anybody could ever say to anybody else. What are you doing looking at that on the internet? What are you doing? Hanging around with that crowd. What are you doing? You know, how does that fit in with what God is really wanting and desiring to bless you with in your life? You know, I mean, are you out of your mind is a little bit strong, but it's sometimes good to hear. Like it was good for me to hear from my sister. I thank her for that. Because I didn't know what I was doing, and I was out of my mind. I was addicted to something that was wrong, and she saw it and called me on it, and I needed to come back to where I needed to be. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we need to do that for one another, right? We need to remind each other lovingly, and maybe, you know, she's my sister, so, and she's my older sister, so I have to listen to her, right? And I did. But at the time, I didn't want to hear it. But we are responsible for those around us too, and so, you know, let's try to do that. I was reminded in the spirit this week of a sister through the memory of Bruce Pfeffer. You know Bruce, right? Many of you know Bruce. And he told the story. He stood here and gave a testimony of when he met his wife first. And she said, when we first were, you know, thinking about going out, she said to him, "You have to become a Christian. I'm not going to be, you know, continuing this relationship unless you're a Christian." You remember he said that? And when he told him that, she was setting her mind on Christ. She was setting her mind in the right place. She was opening her mind to the word of God to her and speaking to you, to her. And she acted upon it and stood up for her faith. And then Bruce told the amazing story of going to a bookstore and looking and seeing a book with a title that was exactly what he needed to hear, that God was talking to him and Jesus was calling him to himself. And how did that happen? Because a woman of God said, "I belong to Christ." And the Bible says that I need to be yoked with someone who's a believer. And so she acted upon that. Very powerful testimony, and testimonies do that for us. And so I want to take just a brief look at this word here, and there's many things that happened in this scripture where Jesus appears to his disciples miraculously risen from the dead, comes to them, and even eats fish, right? So there's all kind of things that this scripture could teach us, but the one that I really feel that God wants us to dwell on today is about that verse where it says that in verse 45, sorry, I can't see it. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his names to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And so he was coming and he was commissioning them as his disciples and saying, thus it is written in the scriptures, right? And it wasn't the scriptures that are written in the New Testament yet, but it was the ones that they were reading in the Old Testament. And he opened their minds to understand and put it all together. And that is really where we're going here today. Right? That there are things that we're out of our minds. What are we thinking about? What are you doing? All those kind of things. But Jesus comes into that situation and he brings light. And a person, and you can talk about people you know or yourself and things like this, but something was stuck and something was not getting through with these guys, the followers of Jesus. And what did it take? It took Jesus risen from the dead, coming to them, talking to them and saying, I am going to open your minds now so that everything is going to be clear for you. And you know what happened after that? They got it and they marched out of there and they started to set the world on fire through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you and I are here today, because those people were opened in their minds. Jesus opened their minds to put it all together, all the things that they were prepared for in the Old Testament and that God was speaking to through the scriptures. And at that moment, they saw it all lived out in front of them. That's amazing. Glory to God. They got it. And that is exactly what God is trying to say to us today. There are people in our lives who are falling under that kind of a situation in that kind of a category where they're not getting it. They're out of their minds. They're not seeing it. I can tell you that I stood up here many times and there are people that I saw, you know, really not getting what I was saying. And it's very hard to see that. But later they did. They did. And it was through Jesus speaking to them. And one of them told me that. I got it. I got it. This person comes up to me and they said, this is what happened. I can't recall exactly what happened in that case, but he said, Jesus came and, you know, it's like basically he was saying, you're a nice guy, but Jesus is the one who talked to me and told me what it's about. And now I understand. I want to be baptized. So if there's anybody on your mind or your heart and you see in that kind of a way and they have that kind of a foggy eye, you know, kind of a thing where I'm not getting it, don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Because it's Christ in me, right? Not me, but Christ in me. That is the difference maker. And he is a shepherd who seeks the lost. And he answers prayers. And if he answered the prayer of Daniel and came to him and said, your message was heard and you're going to get an answer right now. Because your heart was in the right place, your mind was in the right place, and God saw that you were seeking understanding. To understand. And I think really at heart, a lot of times people don't understand what they're doing. Jesus said it from the cross, didn't he? They know not what they're doing. So he shows what? Compassion. Forgiveness, love, all of these things. You see what I mean? With it being through the whole Bible, it's all through the gospel, the mind. But God brings life into those people. And he says, I'm going to save you. So there's a few words here, just briefly to look at. Open. Right? He opened their eyes. He opened their minds. Sorry. There's another place actually on the walk to Emmaus that came before this. He opened their eyes. but this is open their minds. But this word open is a very interesting one. The word in Greek means to break through. Not just open like a door, but to break through. And it's breaking through layers of sin that has caused spiritual blindness. Tim Keller wrote a really, really great piece on this subject, and he mentions this verse in it, and this is what he said. Jesus talks about the human mind or the human soul like a mountain, not an open door, but a mountain. Layers and layers of obstacles to the truth, impenetrable. And what Luke is saying is the natural human mind, until Jesus gets to it, is spiritually blind. And what does that mean? One illustration you can use is you think of the eye. Very often, as a person gets older, something develops on the eye called a cataract. A cataract is a clouding up or a misting up, an opaqueness that develops where there should be transparency. And like a surgeon, we need Jesus to remove the cataract from our spiritually blind eyes. Even cataracts have a meaning. Do you understand? Right? I'm starting to understand that. Even a cataract has an important message for us about our life as Christians. And so when the time comes, if I do have cataracts that need to be removed, I'll be thinking about the fact that Jesus comes and takes the cataract out of my eye so that I can see. He opens my mind. He opens my mind. He breaks it open. He breaks it open. There's all these layers, and people that are walking around this earth have layers of sin that are blinding them spiritually. And only Jesus has the power to break it, to break that cataract off their eyes, to open their eyes so they can see. And it's very personal. It's not between you, them and anyone else. It's between them and Jesus. Listen to this story that he, or this other section that he wrote about this. When a person says, I became a Christian last year, though I've always believed intellectually in the Bible and intellectually in the Christian faith, last year I saw. What does she mean when she talks like that? And here's what she means. This is Tim Keller. I always knew Jesus died for me, says a new Christian, but I never realized I need to know that Jesus loves me more than anything else in the world. I need to know that deep down underneath it, I didn't believe I'm loved. One day last year, I realized what Jesus did for me is the thing that I need most of all. It revolutionized me when I realized it. And when I saw the value of what he's done for me, I suddenly realized I don't have to be like this. And this is the root of all my problems. But Jesus is the source of the solution for all my problems. And that kind of language means the cataracts have come off. She saw, but didn't see. And Jesus came and gave her sight. Amen? So that's the opening. It's a mountain of thick layers of things that are blinding people in their lives. But Jesus comes and he breaks it open. And the mind has many different Greek words in the Bible, in the New Testament. But Paul especially was in tune with the society that he was living in and with the Greek world. And so he took the word really, you know, through the Holy Spirit and used a word in Greek that was going to help people to see about the mind. And the Jewish people were talking about the heart, right? The heart is the one thing that is the source of all these different things going on. And Paul didn't disregard the heart, but he focused in on what the Greeks were thinking, and they were great thinkers and philosophers and things like that. So he wanted them to know these things. So he wrote it like in these kind of terms. But Jesus himself said it in this verse. He used that word in Greek himself, right? This is what Jesus is saying, right? Those words that were written in his word through Luke. And it's an organ. The mind is an organ that determines a course of action. That helps, I think. It determines a course of action, the mind, or the state or act of understanding. We can break that down into all kinds of different levels. We have teachers among us here that are very good teachers. They know that they study how the mind works in little children. How can they understand? What are they able to understand at their age? How are we going to do that? How do we advance in those kind of ways? But there's also a spiritual thing going on in us, the Bible teaches us. There's something that is going on that has to do with our sin, and it needs attention from God, from Jesus, the teacher, who understands us and understands what we need in our lives. And he comes into our lives and he exposes things into the light so that they can be taken care of. They can be washed away, all these things through the blood on the cross. He comes in and he disturbs those kind of things that are having a hold on us and that are layers of mountainous sinfulness that we need a Savior to come and release us from. And he does that. And so this mind of ours determines a course of action or the state or act of understanding. And then that word understand is a very incredible one. It literally means to send together or bring together, to understand. I love that. It's bringing something together. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I didn't get it. The disciples were like, I know you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. I know that. We see it. You've done all these miracles. You've been teaching and all these different things. But they didn't get the part about his purpose of coming on the cross to die for them. And so God in his greatness and his power and mercy came and he brought them together in the minds of the disciples. They were understanding. They saw it. They had that moment where they were understanding those things. So it literally means to bring together. The idea is to put together like pieces of the puzzle and to exhibit quick comprehension. One last thing about this. This word in Greek points to a continuous and lasting understanding. And this means that the disciples now saw that the Old Testament stated prophetically the very things they had witnessed and were now witnessing through Jesus. And this was a quote from someone, keep putting together the pieces until you see Jesus. We'll never graduate from spirituality 101 on this earth. So now I want to share some things that God has been teaching me, especially during the time leading up to Easter and having the baptism and things like that. William Faulkner is a very famous author, and he said this, he gave this following advice when people said that they didn't understand his books. His books are sometimes very hard to read, I guess. His answer was, read them three times. Read the book three times. Don't throw it away after one read, right? What do we do if we don't understand something in the Bible? Read it three times. Read it 10 times. I can't tell you how many times I've started War and Peace by Tolstoy. And I got so far and I'm like, wow, I'm really going to do it this time. And then I'm like, oh, I forgot to read it again. So I have to go back to the beginning and I have to restart. And there's so many things and there's so many names. And I'm like, can't you just like maybe use fewer names in this book so that I don't get so confused? But you have to read it. It's one of the greatest books that was ever written. So there must be some purpose in it and there must be some good reason for reading it. And so what it teaches me is that you don't give up on something just because it's hard. Don't give up on the Bible because you think it's hard. Ask Jesus to open your mind to it. Ask Jesus to go to him, the source, and see what happens. Talk about this engaging of our minds and willing to engage in the Bible is so important, right? And I found myself with those who were baptized, you know, we had a relatively short time to talk through things, but I really started to think that the most important thing to focus on is you have to think about your life. You don't just learn things in the Bible about baptism and say, this is the one, and you check it off, and you go to the next one, and you say, okay, this is what that means, and this is the church's part in it, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father, and the Son, and they're all important. But what does that mean? Right? It's like there's these puzzles, the parts of the puzzle that the guy was just explaining and saying, it's like taking it and piecing it together or something that is hard, but and you're saying, I can read those things, but I got to go do other stuff now, so I'm not going to think about it beyond that. But what we really are called to as human beings made by God is to spend all of our time thinking about that. That is really important in life. What is life about? What is my life about? What does this mean to me? What does God mean to me? And he will show you when you ask those questions. Show me the meaning of life. Show me the meaning of these words that are in this scripture here. You think that I have any kind of insight into God's word aside from him helping me? It doesn't happen. So we will expend a lot of time on things so we can pass tests and we can do all kinds of things for any kind of a world that we're involved with outside of school and stuff like that. But when it comes to learning about God, there seems to be that opaqueness in our eyes and that kind of a lost thing. It's like, okay, staring up and what is happening here? But in the meantime, God is at work in your life and you have to believe that. And I'm telling you because I had this opportunity as the pastor in this church to say, this is what you need to do. This is what we need to do because this is what God is teaching us today. We need to at least say, open our minds, Jesus. And what we were saying to the children before, fill your minds with things that are good for it. And if you're not, then start. Right? Look at the world in that kind of a way. Look at it, look for that signal from God and get yourself in position so that you receive it clearly. And if you're not, then chances are you're looking somewhere else and you're facing the wrong direction. Amen? So we need to do that. And you need to think about what it means right now, like from this point on, what does my life mean as a Christian? What is God saying to me in my life? Why am I here and where am I going and what does my life mean in the view of God? Use the time that you have, brothers and sisters. Seek knowledge and understanding like Daniel and humble yourself before God. Use your time by recognizing that people have been transformed. Look around this room. There are people that have been transformed by the glory of God, by the salvation in Jesus. Come and hear the testimony of Billy on April 27th. April 27th, we're going to have a fellowship time, a family fellowship time. It's going to be a lot of fun and things like that. On the 27th, it's Saturday, from 2 till, you know, we go home. But Billy is going to come and she's going to give a testimony that she already gave once in Chinese to the Chinese fellowship. And we invited her to come to that. Come and hear how God has transformed her. Come and hear that testimony, and bring someone with you that needs to hear that message. Use your mind, like Winnie did with Bruce. I stand on the truth of God. And I'm putting it into my life this way, and I'm not just going to do whatever I want because I like some guy. I am going to live my life, and I'm going to trust that God is going to work great things in it, and it did. He did. So that's what we hear in these testimonies, and you all have a testimony to give too, and you need to practice it. Join the Friday Night Youth What Fellowship and listen to what God is saying through Brianne and Alfred. Come to the Life Prep and be involved with others who are seeking God and are looking for understanding of God's Word so that they can be more effective, right? These are things that are very practical things. You can start, and that's the sign of somebody who's doing that. Come to Wednesday night and join in with other Christians who are seeking God through his word and opening our minds, hoping and praying that God will illuminate us and show us great things, and he's doing that. Bring your children to children ministry. Bring them there. Whether they want to go or not. Sorry, but that's the way I feel. Kids don't like to go to school, do they? But they go. So those things are being offered. Set your mind on the things that are of Christ, and he will show you the way. Right? These are the immediate things.